This is Jay Sekulow, testimony before the House of Representatives for Pastor Saeed Abedini.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
So as we speak, Pastor Abedini remains imprisoned in Iran, sharing a cell with violent criminals who have more than once surrounded Pastor Abedini as he tried to sleep, wielding knives and threatening his life. Pastor Saeed Abedini is an American citizen. He went to Iran last year to build an orphanage for Iranian children. He has been arrested in Iran before, but released and told he could enter and exit the country for humanitarian aid work if he agreed to cease pastoring house churches. He accepted that proposal, but Iran did not uphold its end of the agreement.
Mrs. Abedini, my family and I pray for you every day and for your husband. My husband and I spent 4 years as missionaries in Eastern Europe, involved in orphanage ministry as well. And we appreciate your heart and can relate to your heart, and we appreciate that. I'm a co-sponsor of the resolution calling for your husband's release. I've signed on to multiple letters on his behalf, and frankly, I am deeply embarrassed, which is why I wanted to be able to come and sit in this hearing today.
As we approach Christmas, which is a joyful time of the year, but it's a painful time for our family to celebrate another year without my husband, I want to end with this. Saeed's in that prison because he believes, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And this season, I not only pray for the release of my husband, but I hope and I pray that our government would realize where we've fallen from and how far we've fallen, and that we would return to the source of blessing. May God bless America, the land that I love. Thank you. God bless you.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Welcome to the broadcast, everyone. And that certainly is not something you hear every day before the United States Congress. But literally moments ago, Jordan Enagme testified before the United States House of Representatives to a packed room of this committee that was dealing with this issue of the persecution, really targeting on her husband. It raised the others as well, but it really was focusing on the situation with Saeed Abedini. You know, folks, this is something we asked for. This is something we demanded from Congress. Of course, Chris Smith was really wanting to help, and he did. And this is the second hearing in 9 months. And you're going to hear in this entire hour of the broadcast, you're going to actually go inside there, and we're going to play some of this testimony for you at length, where Jordan and a congressman were debating a point where they were acting as if, well, we've not had relationships with the Iranians for all these years. And Jordan pointed out, David, correctly, that you know it's a new world now. You're sitting across the table from them. But the fact that we've gotten now two hearings in 9 months is really unprecedented on something like this.
No, absolutely. I mean, let's recall where we were about a year ago. This issue was not on the radar screen at all. There was an American imprisoned in Iran that nobody had heard of, and he was suffering in total silence and anonymity. Now his name is front and center on the world stage. You know, and all the pieces are in place for the Obama administration to come through here. All the pieces are in place, and yet it's like a football team with the ball on the 1 yard line and they fumble, or they just hand it to the other team. It's been unbelievable, but I'm hopeful with this second hearing and the renewed outcry from our members, from people around the country, around the world, that perhaps this next time the Obama administration will have what it takes to get a deal done.
Well, I'll tell you, folks, we are working on it. We couldn't do it without you. Let me tell you the good news, though. They've kept the record open, which means we can submit additional information. If you want to talk to us on air, what are your thoughts about this? Go to ACLJ.org, and you can email us, but certainly you can call us if you've got a question at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We're going to be joined by Jordan in a moment. We're going to be joined hopefully maybe even by Enagme if we can work that out as well, even if it's just for a few moments. What would you want to say to her? You're going to have a chance to do it. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. I want to hear from you now. Now, folks, I've got to say this. 141,000 people have signed on to this petition to stand firm against a nuclear Iran and stand firm for Pastor Saeed. We want to have 150,000 signatures. The record's held open for a couple of days. We can do it. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Folks, we got about 48 hours here to get to 150,000 signatures. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Don't forget the matching challenge. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we get a matching gift for ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment.
American pastor Saeed Abedini's situation is dire. Imprisoned in Iran because of his Christian faith, Pastor Saeed is facing life-threatening conditions. His health is deteriorating, and prison officials refuse to provide him with badly needed medication. This week on Capitol Hill, a critical congressional hearing focusing squarely on Pastor Saeed's plight. Testimony from Pastor Saeed's wife, Naghmeh, along with ACLJ Executive Director Jordan Sekulow, raising important questions about the lack of involvement by the Obama administration to secure his freedom. Stand with the ACLJ now. Send a powerful message. Pastor Saeed is an American citizen who must be released. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on. A lot of great things happening. And a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org.
Everybody, welcome back to the broadcast. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Jordan is and Naghmeh are still giving interviews out on the Capitol. Than can call in, though. Let's get Than on. Maybe we can get Than on the phone. But let me play for you a conversation. This is number 18. This was Jordan and Naghmeh and Ross Lathan, the congresswoman. She was great, by the way. Let's listen to number 18.
This idea that we may be asking sometimes on the margins in a phone call, that's wonderful. What is the response?
He must not become an asterisk or a footnote.
Exactly right. Exactly.
Thank you.
I wanted to make sure Mr. Deutsch was here to discuss that, but I don't have an agenda. There's nothing more than I would like to see my country united on an important issue such as human rights. I've been fighting tirelessly for my husband's release for over a year. It's been a lonely road for me and the kids as well.
So here's the thing. We're going to play that comment for Congressman Deutsch. Because Congressman Deutsch, a Democrat from Florida, got very offensive and put on a defense because Jordan correctly said that there's been inept action at the State Department. And folks, I'm telling you, I've been there and it is. David's been on those phone calls. Every time we talk to the State Department and they say the issue was raised, whether it's on the margins or not at all, who knows the truth now about Saeed Abedini, we ask them the same time, same question. I say, well, what was the Iranian response? And David, it's the same thing every time, no response. And we don't follow it up.
How does the world's only superpower say to a country like Iran, you're holding one of our citizens, release him, and then how do we settle for no response? You know how we settle it? We do that when we don't prioritize our own citizens.
Which is clearly what the case is here, by the way. By the way, we're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Now, look, we've got a petition up right now that we want to get to 150,000 signatures on. It is a petition that says stand firm against a nuclear Iran and stand firm for Saeed Abedini. We have the opportunity, because the record's held open, for a few days to supplement it. So we want you to do that. Go to aclj.org and sign that petition now, or 1-877-989-2255. That's aclj.org or 877-989-2255. Jordan's on the phone right now. By the way, if you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. Jordan is still at the Capitol. Jordan, what's the latest?
Yeah, just walked
great,
out
great
of the,
job, by the way. You did it. You and Naghmeh both were, everybody was fantastic, but you did a really great job. Legally, great job.
I think that people may have seen, if they were watching and if any of it was streaming, one Democrat showed up. We had a number of House Republicans, much more than we expected of this final days of Congress, this session, to come out and speak out. I came to list them all. But one Democrat showed up and basically went on the attack against us. We were planned for, I think, what he did not know we were planned for, which is that he is the representative for the missing FBI agent. And what I said back to that congressman after he said, how can you be so critical of this administration, is that I don't want to be like that family coming back to Congress 6 years from now, hoping after we're sitting down at the table with Iran, hoping that Saeed gets returned at the end of his term, prison term. And you know what? The congressman tried to walk off before I responded, but luckily we had a lot of cameras there, a lot of media there, who all caught the congressman. I pointed it out, and he sat right back down. But that was the only Democrat who showed up, which I think underscores some of the problem here, is that though there was so much bipartisan praise, this congressman didn't care what I was saying in my opening remarks. I kept saying that over and over. He was sent as for a message, trying to undermine our efforts and undermine our criticism of what is. He could not stand the fact that I called his beloved Obama administration incompetent on this issue. But let me tell you, his fellow colleagues, the House Republicans, I don't think could have been. I think they were even stronger than the statements I made, and that's their job.
Do we have the statement where Jordan made the statement about that the State Department has been inept and incorrect? Let's play that. This is what started this dialogue, folks. Let's play that right now.
The ineptness of the State Department's relationship with Mrs. Abedini. She is represented not just by us, but ultimately by the U.S. government, who is sitting at that table. The idea that this would, that bringing them up would make them hostages or pawns, I would beg to differ and state that Mr. Abedini, Mr. Hekmati, and Mr. Levinson already are pawns, and they already are hostages of Iran. They are American citizens being held by a foreign government. We're sitting at the table with them. Some have been hostages for nearly 7 years, 2 years, or 444 days. They're already at that point.
Listen to Congressman Deutsch's. This is how ridiculous this is. And I'm glad, Jordan, you did a great job legally, too, of going after him in the correct way, with deference, but with a direct answer. But listen to this is what Congressman Deutsch's response is.
And I don't believe, Mr. Sekulow, that it's helpful for us in this hearing, for the hearing to turn on allegations of incompetence and ineptitude by the administration.
If I could, Mr. Chairman, respond to one of Congressman Deutsch's statements. The incompetence has not been at the level of Republicans and Democrats in Congress. It's been at a bureaucratic level. And it's clear because on television, members of the administration at the White House, the National Security Council says one thing happens in the negotiation. The Deputy National Security Advisor says something else happens. Secretary Kerry then says something else. And I would add for the congressman, with all due respect, I know he represents as a constituent Robert Levinson. 7 years missing? I don't want to be here 6 years from now. I'd say that's incompetent, especially when we have an opportunity.
You know what, we're here today to focus on human rights in a country that has absolutely no respect for them. And we're focusing on human rights in a country that has immense respect for them. And to bring discredit on the men and women who have spent the past 7 years trying to bring Bob Levinson home as to advance some agenda, unknown agenda that I can't fathom, when we're all trying to work together to focus on human rights and to bring Pastor Abedini home, it's not right.
Congressman, things have significantly changed. And as you're walking out, in the last month, we are now in negotiations with Iran. That didn't happen 6 years ago. So whatever efforts you're talking about before, it was different. But in the last 6 weeks, we have a new relationship with Iran. We can't think about Iran as, oh, and we still hear this from the State Department, we have no diplomatic ties. Well, depending on how you define that, when you're sitting down at the table regularly, I think that the whole situation has fundamentally changed. So to accept what was previously done as satisfactory is no longer satisfactory.
Mr. Sekulow, since my time has expired and you've claimed some of the time that I no longer had, I would simply tell you that the commitment that exists to bring Pastor Abedini home and Mr. Hekmati home and to bring home my constituent is real. And have things changed? Absolutely they have. And does every one of us here believe that this is an issue that should be raised at every single meeting? Yes. I've said it, we've all said it, and we all need to ensure that it happens.
But so far we know it hasn't happened.
Gentlemen, yield.
There you go. Jordan, that was one of the best legal exchanges I've ever heard. I mean, it was just absolutely fantastic, and you got the point across. What was your sense when the hearing was over? Obviously, you know, Fox broke into it a couple of times. We're obviously talking about it's going to get attention. What was your sense there?
Well, I think, you know, what we saw, and I think people got to hear with that exchange, is that it is, unfortunately, the Obama allies are trying to undermine our efforts to save Saeed. I mean, and this congressman could, you know, he doesn't care if that undermines the efforts to locate and return his constituent and his family. I mean, he actually told Secretary Kerry, after disagreeing with some of the nuclear talks 2 days ago, that congressman said, but your efforts on Levinson have been great. Maybe they were that, as I said, in there 6 years ago. But we have a new relationship with Iran. So if you're still just doing the same thing, that's inept. That's incompetent. You have to change and, you know, move with the times. And if you've got a new opportunity, you better use it. And so, if, like I said, I wouldn't be satisfied if I was that congressman with someone missing for 7 years who gets hostage photos taken. I wouldn't be satisfied by a member of my own party as Secretary of State, as is John Kerry with Congressman Deutsch, saying I don't want them to be hostages when his constituent actually is a hostage. He was sent there to undermine us, Dad. He was sent there to undermine Nagme. And that, again, I think underscores the bigger problem here, is that my entire opening statement praised the bipartisanship of Congress and attacked the incompetence of the administration. That had nothing to do with partisan politics. It was just on this issue. But that congressman was sent there. And there was another Democrat who tried to join the committee hearing, was already over. So they were starting to play a little damage control. And I hope that congressman, I don't know how it came out, you know, it's happened a quick exchange, but I hope that congressman was exposed for what he was trying to do. And I made him, by the way, when I said, as you're walking away, he looked at all those TV cameras and he sat right back down.
Yeah, I thought that was great lawyering, as we say, right at the time, right up the top there. Hey, Jordan, we appreciate it. We're going to hear from Nagme hopefully in a few minutes. We're going to be playing a lot more of this hearing in the second half hour of the broadcast, folks. You're not going to want to miss it. Historic day here for the ACLJ, for Nagme Amedini, and prayerfully for her husband, Saeed. All right, we're taking a break. When we come back, more of your calls and Nagme Amedini. And a lot of you are holding. We're going to try to get to those calls, but there's a lot of breaking news right now. Folks, we've got 141,000-plus signatures for this petition. I want to be at 150,000, and that's where you come in. We've got the records held open for a few days. Let's get there. If you haven't signed on this petition for Pastor Saeed Abedini, do it right now at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Let me urge you to sign it right this moment. We've got about 48 hours to keep it open. ACLJ.org. Or 877-989-2255. Don't forget the matching challenge, folks. Any amount you donate at ACLJ.org, we get a matching gift for it. Back with more in a minute.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. American pastor Saeed Abedini's situation is dire. Imprisoned in Iran because of his Christian faith, Pastor Saeed is facing life-threatening conditions. His health is deteriorating, and prison officials refuse to provide him with badly needed medication. This week on Capitol Hill, a critical congressional hearing focusing squarely on Pastor Saeed's plight. Testimony from Pastor Saeed's wife, Nagme, along with ACLJ Executive Director Jordan Sekulow, raising important questions about the lack of involvement by the Obama administration to secure his freedom. Stand with the ACLJ now. Send a powerful message. Pastor Saeed is an American citizen who must be released. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Well, we're giving you breaking news, folks, because Jordan Nagme just came out of a hearing, and it was an emotional one. It was a legal one. It was a real fight. Let's go to the phones. Lonnie's calling from Connecticut on line 5. And by the way, if you've not signed that petition, do it today. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Lonnie, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Yes, I just wanted to commend Jordan for standing next to that girl, fighting for her, because she is by herself.
Yep.
For the most part, and you're standing in the gap for her. You're the voice of a lot of people out here that are behind you. I just want to commend you for that. And I did sign the petition yesterday. And I, if you want to transfer me over, I would like to make a contribution to your ministry.
Sure. I'm going to give you a number. You need to call, or the best way. Here's the best way to do it, Lonnie. Just go to ACLJ. Do you have access? Easy access to computer.
Yes.
ACLJ.org. You can do it there. And by the way, we appreciate you. We're very proud of what Jordan and Nagme did today. Jordan was prepared to tangle with some Democratic opposition that he anticipated. Good lawyering, David always says be prepared for. And, I mean, I was on the phone with Jordan last night, probably 11:30, and he was preparing, going through his notes again, going through the outlines, and he said, Dad, I think we're going to get some pushback from the administration through a Democratic congressman. And he was, I mean, you could tell he was prepared. That answer he gave on relationships have changed in the last 7 years, Congressman, and then the congressman sitting back down as he was getting ready to leave, that was pretty dramatic. Lonnie, thank you. And again, go to ACLJ.org for that contribution.
Absolutely, Jordan was prepared, and Jordan was exactly right on that. I mean, the reason why there is such an outcry right now is because things have changed, because Americans were sitting across from Iranians with an enormous amount of leverage over Iran because of successful sanctions. Everything had changed. Everything had changed, and the administration didn't come through, and Jordan was exactly right to point that out, and it was very effective.
All right, Jordan is now walked. It's a good thing about being in Washington, D.C. You're across the street from the Capitol, so you're back at the office. Jordan, as you were walking, what's the latest developments? What are you hearing while you were coming out of the hearing?
Well, I think, you know, for finally it's put on display what the problems are with this situation, is that's a congressman who's satisfied with the efforts to save his constituent who's been gone for 7 years. And he's satisfied with that. I mean, you know, it's because they are partisan, and in the House of Representatives, sometimes even more so. But he just didn't like hearing the truth. And the truth is, I mean, how many times do I need to go through statements in the last 48 hours that do not coincide? And, you know, I just want to make it clear for everybody listening right now. If you listen to my opening statement, the bipartisan praise, talking about Republicans and Democrats working together. See, he wasn't sent there on behalf of House Democrats or Senate Democrats. He was sent there on behalf of the Obama administration, trying to get the pressure off them, when in fact, at the same hearing 2 days ago, he was yelling at Secretary Kerry himself. And so maybe that was what he had to do in return for that, the stunt that he pulled.
Well, I think that's right, and I think you handled it exactly perfect. We got a lot of people that have been calling in. 1-800-684-3110 is the number. Let's go to another phone call. Let's take Barbara's calling from Idaho, which is where Nagme and Said are from. Hi, Barbara.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. You're on the air.
Yes. This is my first call.
Okay, great.
I've never called in before.
No problem. Glad you've called in.
I want to just tell you that out here in Idaho, and for Pastor Zaid and his wife and his family, we love them. We're praying for them. And I just want her to know, she came to our church last year and gave testimony about her husband. And I didn't get an opportunity to meet her, talk to her, because so many, you know, wanted to. But for our family, we have a candle burning 24/7.
We really appreciate that. We've got Nagme on the phone right now. Nagme, you did a great job in this testimony. A lot of people, and we're hearing from it, and Barbara was one of them, have been praying for you and are praying for you. What was your sense of this? You did a great job.
Well, I think it was great. I appreciated Jordan Seculo and the team that was there. And actually, it was a great hearing. I think it was great to see so many of our congressmen really passionate, and women so passionate about this issue and about religious freedom issues and their commitment to bringing Said home. So it was very encouraging for me to be there and be part of it.
When, you know, one of the things I think the most telling, and let's see if we have that bite, is when the congressman was pushing back a little bit, the Congressman Deutsch, and he said, I don't know what the agenda is here, but you said, do we have the congressman's statement and Nagme's? Do we have both? All right, let's go ahead and play him, and then I'm going to have Nagme comment.
And I don't believe, Mr. Sekulow, that it's helpful for us in this hearing for the hearing to turn on allegations of incompetence and ineptitude by the administration.
I don't have an agenda. There's nothing more than I would like to see my country united on an important issue such as human rights. I've been fighting tirelessly for my husband's release for over a year. It's been a lonely road for me and the kids as well.
So, Nagme, I thought that was a really great job of pushing back on that, because we had kind of expected, I was on the phone with Jordan last night almost near midnight, and he said, I expect we're going to get some Democratic, the White House is going to try to go through some Democratic members to push back, but I thought you all handled it great. Nagme, let me say this also. This is, I know, a critically difficult time for you because of Christmas coming up and the kids' situation. We're praying for you. A lot of people are praying for you, and under intense pressure today, I want to tell you, you did a wonderful job representing your husband and your family and your country. And I want you to know that for someone that spends my life speaking and talking and arguing, you did a really magnificent job, and so did Jordan. We're really proud of both of you.
Thank you so much. And I do appreciate what the ACLJ is doing and really being the lead in fighting for Saeed's relief. And I'm very thankful for today. I think it was a great day, and I do hope to see him home soon.
Well, that's our prayer as well, and we're not going to stop fighting until he is exactly that back home. So, Nagme, thanks again, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you in the days ahead. Thank you very much. Folks, I want to tell you something. I'm really proud of our team here. I'm proud of our production team here at the radio broadcast. I will tell you, these guys, Nick and Joe and Will, were working last night pulling bites, grabbing sound from other interviews. They did a great job of putting this together. You're going to hear in the next half hour the actual testimony. I realize the testimony just ended 40 minutes ago. So our production team did a fantastic job. I'm thanking them. They were working hard last night and early this morning. I'm really proud of our legal team as well. Jordan and Tiffany Barron and Matt Clark, Skip Ash and others. Of course, Dave and I have been helping as well, but they're the ones that have been really in the trenches on this and have done a great job. Our law clerks, both at Regent University School of Law and some of our clerks here from Vanderbilt, have done just a magnificent job. So we're doing everything we can. But, you know, as Jordan said at the testimony, and David, I think this is really true, legal options we're out of inside of Iran. This is now completely in the realm of diplomacy, which means the Congress, the Senate, parliaments of the world, and the UN.
It's international diplomacy, and we have hope because we have leverage if the administration will use it, and that is the big key.
And, folks, I got to tell you thank you, because we've got offices in just about every place we've named. Every major European country, we've got offices in Moscow, of course, as well. Offices in Strasbourg, France, to deal with all of Europe, and we're able to deploy our assets, as they say, in this fight for freedom. But I want to tell you something, folks. We need your help. This is our most critical month of the year. December is basically 30% of our revenue. We've got a matching challenge campaign. We're doing well. I need to say that. We've got a long way to go in just a couple of weeks. If you would go to ACLJ.org, any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. Call us at 1-877-989-2255. So either 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. You make that online gift, we get a matching grant. You can also sign that petition. We've got it held open for a few more days because the record's held open. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Remember, you can listen to the full hour on SiriusXM. If not, just go to ACLJ.org. We're streaming there. Back with your calls in a moment.
American pastor Saeed Abedini's situation is dire. Imprisoned in Iran because of his Christian faith, Pastor Saeed is facing life-threatening conditions. Stand with the ACLJ now. Send a powerful message. Pastor Saeed is an American citizen who must be released. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. 1-800-684-3110. In just a few minutes, we're going to take you inside that hearing room. You're going to hear the testimony. It was incredible. Jordan's in our studio now in Washington. He's walked across the street from the Capitol. We've got some calls on. We're going to do a rapid-fire round here with me, David, and Jordan. Let's start with Perry calling in North Carolina. Perry, very quickly, please. You're on the air.
Yeah, I'm just wondering where Bill Clinton is. About a few years ago, he was able to wave his magic wand and get a liberal Asian female journalist rescued from North Korea in the face of Kim Jong-il.
Yeah.
And then those three college hikers who were in Iraq who wandered over the border in Iran, they magically made it out of there. I think it's time to call a spade a spade. This Mr. Sabatini is probably not a liberal Democrat, and therefore their backs are turned.
I'll tell you what I think it is. I don't know if it's that. I think they're, and Jordan and I have talked about this before, I think they're partly embarrassed because he's a Muslim convert to Christianity. Jordan?
I think it's two things. One, he's a member of a Calvary church, so I mean, right. That's one thing. So you could figure out his political views, but it is. It's more, this administration has an unbelievable respect. The Obama administration has an unbelievable respect for Islam. And if you have that respect in Islam, you know, it's a serious thing if you leave it. And so, yes, I do think there's politics at play. And you know what? What before we could speculate on, I think after my conversation today with that Congressman Deutsch, the only Democrat who showed up, there was another Democrat congressman who showed up late and was not allowed to speak. Another nasty one, by the way, known as an attack dog from the Democrats. So these were the Obama allies trying to undermine our efforts. And it's just ridiculous, the fact that these congressmen would let themselves be used by an administration that is not doing what it can for their own missing constituent. And seriously, I mean, I would consider it a failure if I was the congressman representing someone who has been missing inside of a country like Iran for 7 years, and then the first month we're in negotiations with him, I didn't get him home.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. David, go ahead quickly.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I think you're hitting on something important here. The fact that Pastor Saeed is a convert to Christianity, that is something that is an embarrassment, I believe, to some in the higher reaches of the State Department.
I believe that, too. Gary's calling from Idaho. He's on line 4. Hi, Gary. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question.
Yep.
I saw a news report 2 days ago.
Go ahead.
That said that Kerry and Obama convinced Congress to hold up new sanctions on Iran.
Well, they're trying hard, but there is bipartisan support to have sanctions. That's the only thing that voids out this deal, and I think most people that are enlightened and understand the situation realize we got the bad end of a deal. Mario, quickly, you're in California. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, how you doing? If worse comes to worse, can't we just send the Navy SEALs in?
Yeah, I'm going to let David answer that, but the problem is finding this guy would be very, very difficult, plus it's a sovereign country.
Right. Here's the problem. Number one, that would start an open war. Number two, he's one prisoner among 22,000. Yeah, it's not like he's held all by himself, so the difficulty there is probably insurmountable.
Jordan, give us the last bit here before we go to the actual testimony, your sense of where this goes next.
I think where it goes next is an administration that's been embarrassed, and Secretary Kerry has offered that classified briefing. The members of Congress are going to take him up on that, and I think he's going to have a lot of explaining to do. He's going to have a lot of explaining to do in that hearing, because his underlings, as I kept trying to say, have either undermined him or vice versa. He has decided, as the ultimate decider of the State Department and the White House, to not move forward with efforts to get these Americans home. And let me tell you, by the way, I take back everything I said. If tomorrow they bring back Saeed. But they're not communicating that to Congress that that's going to happen, by the way.
Let me quickly go to Eileen. Eileen, I got about 10 seconds here. Go ahead.
Okay. Hi. Thank you for everything. God bless his family and him. We're praying for him. But one thing is, we're going to remember this. Everybody who's doing what they're doing now in our country, including the president, we will remember that.
People are going to remember it. But what right now we have to do is take action and take action quickly. And to do that, we need you to go to ACLJ.org and sign on that petition. We want to get to 150,000 signatures. We're getting close. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. So ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Sign it now. Also, matching challenge, folks. ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate online, tax deductible, we get a matching gift for. ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment.
American pastor Saeed Abedini's situation is dire. Imprisoned in Iran because of his Christian faith, Pastor Saeed is facing life-threatening conditions. His health is deteriorating, and prison officials refuse to provide him with badly needed medication. This week on Capitol Hill, a critical congressional hearing focusing squarely on Pastor Saeed's plight. Testimony from Pastor Saeed's wife, Nagme, along with ACLJ Executive Director Jordan Sekulow, raising important questions about the lack of involvement by the Obama administration to secure his freedom. Stand with the ACLJ now. Send a powerful message. Pastor Saeed is an American citizen who must be released. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We said we're going to take you inside the hearing room. We're going to do just that. Jordan gave exceptional testimony, I might say, before the House. He was questioned. You'll hear some of that with Congressman Deutsch, a lively exchange, putting the administration, I think, in its place, in its failure to get the release of these Americans. Let's go inside that congressional hearing room right now.
Mr. Sekulow.
Chairman Smith and Chairman Ross Layton, the ranking member Deutsch, the other co-chairs and chairs of subcommittees that are here today, and members of the subcommittees, I'm deeply honored to present this report on behalf of Pastor Saeed and Nagme Abedini as their attorney, as an organization that represents them, and their two children, their American children, Rebecca and Jacob. My primary purpose for submitting this testimony is to impress upon Congress the desperate need for great urgency as Pastor Saeed is in a dire predicament. Congress has done more than any branch of government. Congress has been there, and it's been bipartisan. But first, let me begin by, again, thanking you and your staffs for having this hearing. You know, we started back in March at the Lantos Commission, and now here we are months later, the United States, in an unprecedented move that we did not predict or could not predict then, is now sitting with Iran. And I think it's important for us to point out right now that we don't see this, or religious liberty at all, as a partisan issue. So I want to recognize that the unbelievable bipartisan efforts that have occurred within this Congress on behalf of Pastor Saeed Abedini. We don't forget that, and when we speak out on Saeed's behalf, and if we are critical of the administration, we always make sure to mention that there's been that bipartisan support. I'm hopeful that today's hearing will highlight the commitment to this case that so many of you have shown, and the world will hear the U.S. government speaking with one voice. That's so clear. One voice. In strong defense of our fellow citizen, Pastor Saeed Abedini. At such a critical juncture, with the U.S. government literally sitting across the table from Iran, we could never have imagined that that would occur when we first testified before the Lantos Commission in March. At the table, for the first time in 34 years, we need to ensure that Pastor Saeed and the other Americans mentioned here today, wrongfully detained, are seen as not a marginal issue, but an essential of those ongoing diplomatic talks. Pastor Saeed Abedini, a U.S. citizen, has been unnecessarily separated from his wife, Nagme, and two children for 17 months, 444 days. The Islamic Republic of Iran has arbitrarily detained and imprisoned Pastor Saeed, subjecting him to violence and abuse, violating both Iranian law and international norms. His trial lacked transparency and due process, and yet appeals courts in Tehran upheld his conviction and 8-year prison sentence. Pastor Saeed has exhausted all legal remedies in Iran to appeal this arbitrary conviction and his detention. His freedom now rests solely on the success of diplomatic efforts by the United States government and world leaders dedicated to human rights. Now, Nagmeh has outlined the timeline of Saeed's case, and a more detailed outline is in my submitted remarks. Allow me to briefly highlight just a couple of more egregious facts about the legal proceedings. First, Saeed was detained arbitrarily and while conducting humanitarian work with the full approval of the Iranian government. Next, Saeed was imprisoned, subjected to solitary confinement without even being informed about the charges against him. Third, Saeed was informed of the official charges against him less than a week before his sham trial and denied access to his attorney until less than 24 hours before that trial. Finally, Saeed and his attorney were barred from attending the second half of the trial, the half in which, quote, key witness testimony was taken, thereby denying his legal team the ability to question or even know who those witnesses were. Predictably, this resulted in Saeed's conviction, an 8-year prison sentence on January 27th, 2013. Judge Pir Abbasi, who presided over Pastor Saeed's trial, has earned the nickname the Hanging Judge. Despite the fact that Judge Pir Abbasi has been individually sanctioned by the European Union and that the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom under the chair of Ms. Sweat and also now vice chair has repeatedly made a similar recommendation to the United States Department of State, to date, the U.S. has failed to place any sanctions on Judge Pir Abbasi. The EU has acted, the United States has not. You heard from Nagmeh about the horrific prison conditions that Saeed is enduring, that he's being denied basic medical care, and that he's been transferred to a much more difficult prison than Evin prison. See, this is Raja Shah prison, built for 5,000 violent criminals, real criminals, murderers, rapists, drug dealers, people convicted and sentenced to death or life in prison. Built for 5,000 inmates, it is currently housing approximately 22,000. It's a prison out of control with violence. To define the situation as inhumane would be a gross understatement. In addition to the horrific abuse and torture Pastor Saeed has faced at the hands of his own brutal Iranian captors, Pastor Saeed has not always had the full backing of his own government. And I want to be clear here, I mean the executive branch. Members of Congress have been with us on both sides, Republican and Democrat, since the beginning. When the Iranian government initially detained Pastor Saeed, the U.S. State Department excused its lack of assistance on the fact that the U.S. lacked any diplomatic ties with Iran. That doesn't work anymore. So now, when the U.S. has historically communicated with, sits across from the table, the Iranian government, the U.S. government has still failed to secure the release of Pastor Saeed and the other Americans in prison. As Nagmeh pointed out, this Congress has spoken with strength and unity on behalf of Pastor Saeed, and we are grateful that President Obama expressed his concern about the Americans imprisoned in Iran on his historic phone call with Iranian President Hassan Rouhani back in September. But as you all know, as members of Congress, as principals, if there's no follow-up to your discussion, little gets done. Everyone has a lot to do. And you have staffs, you have your staff that you rely on to make sure what you've agreed to on phone calls or said you will do is done. Yet, 2 days ago, Secretary of State Kerry sat at this table, and to you, Chairman Smith, he said that this matter is a priority for him. But numerous statements from his department claim that Saeed was either not brought up or only discussed on the margins. For us, you can understand the incompetence. Was he brought up? Was he on the margins? If you look at Secretary Kerry's statements to you, Chairman Smith, it's very difficult to tell. He made a pretty broad statement of no, but you've had others, including those who are even going before their hearings in the Senate for confirmation yesterday, told Senator Rubio that he was brought up on the margins of the P5 plus one. So who's telling the truth? We were told he was by the State Department, but then when Secretary Kerry testified, there's other statements we can point to as well. The Deputy National Security Advisor, Tony Blinken, said on CNN to Wolf Blitzer, no, it was not. It is not part of the agenda. But yet the National Security Council spokesperson, Ben Rhodes, later that day on CNN said it was on the margins. On the margins is bad enough. Not at all is even worse. We don't know which one of those to believe. And that's why we believe, Mr. Chairman, that that offer from Secretary Kerry to hold that classified briefing for members of Congress should be absolutely acted upon. And we would welcome the opportunity to provide you with the kind of questions and information that we've received from the State Department so that you can get the answers and we can hear back from you at least to know whether you're satisfied with what we believe is our government's incompetence. Let me just close begin by expressing my gratitude to both subcommittees for taking an active role in Pastor Saeed's case. And just to highlight again that while our government sat across the table from the Iranian delegation, Saeed was transferred to a worse prison. Was it on the margins or was it not on the agenda? That's an answer we need from the United States Executive Branch and from the Obama administration. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Ms. Seklo, and we will indeed follow up with that classified briefing. But also, I and I know everyone else who is concerned about Pastor Abedini will be raising this issue repeatedly going forward at every venue where we have an interface with the administration, because there was a sense of conflicting information even as the Secretary of State spoke. So thank you for your testimony and for being an excellent lawyer on behalf of Mr. Abedini.
Unbelievably historic hearing. You know, folks, this was a hearing we asked for, and we got it because of your support. Now the record is being held open for a few days, and that gives us a chance to supplement that record. Go to ACLJ.org and sign on that petition. Stand firm for Saeed Abedini against Iran. By the way, over 141,000 of you have done that. I want to get to 150,000 when the record closes. So go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Or 1-877-989-2255. ACLJ.org. Or 1-877-989-2255. It's critical we hear from your voice.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. American pastor Saeed Abedini's situation is dire. Imprisoned in Iran because of his Christian faith, Pastor Saeed is facing life-threatening conditions. His health is deteriorating, and prison officials refuse to provide him with badly needed medication. This week on Capitol Hill, a critical congressional hearing focusing squarely on Pastor Saeed's plight. Testimony from Pastor Saeed's wife, Naghmeh, along with ACLJ Executive Director Jordan Sekulow, raising important questions about the lack of involvement by the Obama administration to secure his freedom. Stand with the ACLJ now. Send a powerful message. Pastor Saeed is an American citizen who must be released. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Well, Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Nagmeh Abedini, the wife of Pastor Saeed Abedini, emotional testimony before the United States House of Representatives. Folks, this was a historic opportunity. We are trying to force action on behalf of the pastor. You know, you heard what Jordan said. The legal options are done. It is now diplomacy. We are fully engaged, but now we have to fight back and fight back aggressively to get our own government to engage. Here's what Nagmeh had to say.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the subcommittees. My name is Nagmeh Abedini. When I spoke in front of the Tom Lantos Human Rights Commission in March of this year, I had anticipated that I would battle the Iranian government for my husband's freedom. I never anticipated that I would also have to battle my own government and that the journey would become even much more difficult than it had been. My husband is suffering because he's a Christian. He's suffering because he's an American. Yet his own government did not fight for him when his captors were across the table from them. Saeed converted from Islam to Christianity in the year 2000 after having a radical encounter with Jesus. And in that encounter, Jesus Christ told Saeed that he was coming back soon and to go preach the gospel. And from there, his life was transformed. And as if he would sit here to testify today, he would say he found true joy, love, and peace that he could not find in his former religion. So today, Saeed sits in that Iranian prison being tortured for his faith. He will not deny the faith that has saved him, that has given him life. He refuses to deny his faith in Jesus and return to Islam. When the Iranian government sentenced him to 8 years in prison in the January of this year, they went back to the year 2000 to 2005, the year of his conversion, and the year where the house churches were started, and he was working under a more moderate government. Khatami was the name of the president before President Ahmadinejad. And at that time, he was working under the supervision of a government-approved building church. The government, Iranian government was well aware of the house church movement and was allowing it. So for them to have arrested him in the year 2012, when he was working with the Iranian government on an orphanage, on a government-approved orphanage, and to say that his crime dated back to 13 years earlier when he was working under a different administration, under a different president, was unbelievable. And to say that he was undermining the national security of Iran by having started those house churches, Christian gatherings. And they actually, in the court hearing, they actually said he'd conducted soft war. It's unbelievable that they would consider peaceful gatherings of Christian an act of war. As many of you have mentioned today, Saeed has been tortured. He's been beaten, abused, and told that to deny his Christian faith, and that if he would return to Islam, he would be freed. He's been in that prison. The kids and I have not seen him since June of last year, but he's been sitting in Evin prison since September, and recently last month he was moved to Rajai Shah prison, where his condition have worsened, and the kids and I fear his life. I want to share a little bit of a personal story here. This is the first day of school. It was a very painful time. I'm trying to smile, but tears were streaming down my face as I got my two kids ready for school, knowing that their dad was missing. And as I took him to school, I could see their wandering eyes looking at their daddies, saying, you know, holding their kids and putting them to school. And I was trying to distract them, but it was a painful time for them to know that their daddy was missing, and it was a painful time for me. And it's been hard. It's been a struggle as a mom watching my 7-year-old and my 5-year-old cry themselves to sleep every single night for the last 444 days. And knowing that unless we get Saeed out quickly, he might serve the 8 years or even more, or he might not even survive that prison sentence. He wrote a recent letter to my daughter on her 7th birthday, and he'd seen a picture of her. And his parents, when they visit him in prison, they say that when they hold the pictures of the kids in front of him, he just cries. And he wrote in a letter, he said, "It is so hard and so heartbreaking for me to see these pictures and to know that I'm not there beside you as you grow. I'm here to help the kids I came here to help the kids that did not have mommies and daddies, but my own kids lost their daddy. This breaks my heart so much. I want you to know that I did not want to put so much pressure on your little shoulders, my precious children. While I am grateful for the official declaration to national media and public acknowledgement from our government, it is not enough. We need to see action to back our rhetoric in the living, breathing form of Saeed Abedini, alive and well, having been immediately released to the reuniting embrace of our family. Not all Americans are Christians, but every American, regardless of their belief, needs to be reassured and know that our government will take decisive action to protect us if our fundamental rights are violated. An American president who has taken his oath of office with honorable intention and is attuned to the international issues will recognize Iran's treatment of Saeed for the assault that it is on our national security. For Iran's treatment of Saeed Abedini is not about one American citizen experiencing a living nightmare for his religious belief. Iran's treatment of Saeed Abedini is an experiment. Iran is curious. How strong is our American president? How serious is he about American security? Would he act immediately with firm resolve to protect and to defend? Time is of the essence. Iran's experiment for evaluating the integrity of America's response to assault on her security is almost complete. And Iran is not the only country watching our reaction. Even if our president can't see the reality, the rest of the world can. In the interest of Americans' confidence in the competency of her government official, her national security and international standing, Saeed Abedini needs to be released now. I want to say that I can't express how grateful I am to the members of Congress who have refused to let my husband be forgotten. And I would like to end with, as we approach Christmas, which is a joyful time of the year, but it's a painful time for our family to celebrate another year without my husband. I want to end with this. Saeed's in that prison because he believes, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And this season, I not only pray for the release of my husband, but I hope and I pray that our government would realize where we've fallen from, where and how far we've fallen, and that we would return to the source of blessing. May God bless America, the land that I love. Thank you.
Well, folks, we're going to have a lot more on this tomorrow, more of the hearing, more of your comments. This is a critically important time. Let me say this right now, folks, and this is essential. We are approaching 150,000 signatures. The record's being held open for a few days. We need to hear from you. If you've not signed on to this petition, we encourage you to do this. Stand against nuclear Iran and stand firm for Pastor Saeed. Again, stand firm against a nuclear Iran and stand firm for Pastor Saeed Abedini. You can do that by going to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. And don't forget, we're in that matching challenge, folks. So any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for you. Do that right at ACLJ.org. But approach this with prayer, approach this with commitment, and sign that petition right now at ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. We'll have a lot more on this tomorrow.
American pastor Saeed Abedini's situation is dire. Imprisoned in Iran because of his Christian faith, Pastor Saeed is facing life-threatening conditions. Stand with the ACLJ now. Send a powerful message. Pastor Saeed is an American citizen who must be released. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.